Rockland, USA.
Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland, USA studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig Lukey with Amanda Braun, your host. Thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open at 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments. We'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all that, you can email us at podcast@rocklandusa.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I am great. It's a beautiful day here in Florida.
Oh, stop. I'm freezing up here in the Washington, D.C. area. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk about your retirement accounts, whether you have 401k, 403b, your HSA, or 457. How do I pick my mutual funds that I'm going to reinvest in my retirement accounts? We're going to talk about that. But first, Amanda, we have our question of the day, a voicemail that was left here for a chance to win $100. 989-888-ROCK.
Hi there, Stephanie from New York. I am 42, have no children, and I'm currently on SSDI and long-term disability due to an illness that I got when I'm 40. So I was in corporate marketing but not working anymore. So question is life insurance. Do I need it? Is there really a purpose? I was looking at it for potentially an investment option, but I'm not really sure if it's worth it. Would love your opinion. Thank you.
It sounds like we have a lady, young lady. She's currently on SSI.
Social Security, for those of us who don't do acronyms.
She says she can't work. I guess she worked in something before, and now she can't work. And she's interested in using life insurance as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about life insurance? If she needs it, what would she need it for? And should she use it as an investment?
Well, I think we're conflating a few things. Investments are investments and insurance is insurance. If she's looking to protect, and that's one of our key cornerstones, right? Protect her finances against unexpected loss down the road, then insurance might be the way to go. I'm personally not a fan of life insurance. That might be because I still consider myself relatively young and don't really think about my demise quite yet. And I probably should.
Demise. That's funny. My demise.
Yeah.
But that's the reality. I get it.
It's the reality. You know, insurance is insurance. You know, we have health insurance. I don't consider my health insurance policy an investment, but investments are investment. I guess it just depends on if you're protecting your finances from an unexpected loss, then that might be something to look into if you're unable to work and need to be creative about protecting your money.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Investments are investments. I don't use life insurance or any insurance as my investment. I'm just,
right.
I don't know of any radio or podcast crew out there, unless they are doing a podcast as part of their business to make money. We don't make money whatsoever. We have no fees or commissions. We're making nothing. Can I confirm with you, Amanda, we make nothing from this podcast?
I think actually we're losing money with the gift cards.
Yeah, actually we're in the hole right now, but that's not the point. We're giving back. We're trying to help people because there's a lot of people that just need some fair, unbiased information out there.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
No, we're getting zero kickbacks, that's for sure.
Zero kickbacks, confirmed by Amanda. The other podcasts that are out there are done by financial advisors, and they will promote whole life, universal life. There's like five different names to whole life. I am not a fan of whole life. The only people that end up buying whole life are you make a lot of money. I hear if you're making $400,000, $500,000 a year, apparently whole life is a deal. I'm not at that camp. So, and I doubt anybody here is in that camp. If you're listening to this podcast,
they certainly wouldn't be listening to us.
No. Or the other people is they made up to age 50, 60, 70, and they realize they have no money. Their only alternative for their spouse or loved one, significant other, to leave them some money is to get whole life. It's like, I didn't do everything I was supposed to up to this point. This is the only thing I can do, only insurance I can get. because I have heart problems, diabetes. I can't get anything else. So if I die, my other gets nothing. It's like a last ditch effort.
Yeah, you know? It definitely should not be an investment or money making strategy.
No. So
it's just about providing security, protection, peace of mind.
For your liabilities like mortgage, income for your significant other for the rest of their life or whatever, you know. It should be 10 times your income. Pretty
it
much
just
the
replaces
standard.
Your income when you die. So right. if you're using it for an investment for yourself, you're in the wrong program.
And if you buy it young,
you'll be dead.
Right, you'll be dead. But if you buy it and you're in good health, that's another reason to stay in good health. Life insurance is so inexpensive. Websites that will shop for you, find an independent agent. But here's another thing about her question. Let's get into this real quick, just a few minutes. She said she's on disability, right?
Yeah.
And she can't work.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about that? That part? Because she's trying to make money.
Oh, yeah.
She's bringing up an income issue. There's many things you
different.
Can do at home that she doesn't have to be on SSI. For example, a lot of corporations to save money have outsourced their call centers. They don't bring mm-hmm. people into call centers anymore. You can work at home. You log in, you answer phones, and you do customer support from your home. I know a lot of military vets who were disabled, you know, over in Iraq and Afghanistan, lost limbs, and they're working at home doing IT support. They were able to get their degree. They're making good money, some in six figures.
Yeah, there's a great website called remote.com that all they do is list jobs that you can do remotely from the comfort of your home. And they'll send you a weekly update. But I think a lot of them are geared towards technical skills. But that's just one example. There are plenty of other job boards. To your point, Craig, it's more and more companies are saving the overhead of building office space for people that they could have working from anywhere in the world with a phone and an internet connection.
Absolutely. As long as you have strong internet, you can buy and sell stuff online. There's so many things you can do in the gig economy and online.
Craig, let me tell you a fun anecdotal story. I had a friend in Miami when we were living in Miami. She would buy bikinis in bulk, like large lots of bikinis, and then sell them individually online. This was like pre Amazon, so it was more like the eBay
era.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason she did bikinis was because shipping on them was so cheap, because they're just tiny little pieces of clothing.
That's right.
And then the markup on it was great. So, you know, I think you just have to be creative. Obviously, selling bikinis is not my passion or where I would go. But if you're in a tight situation, you're going to get creative and find something that you can do from home.
Yeah. Retail arbitrage is what they call that. If you go on YouTube, you could watch videos. A lot of people go out to Walmart, TJ Maxx, those stores, and they buy stuff on the discount shelf. And if you use an Amazon app, the problem is so many people do this now. It's very difficult to do now. But the way it used to work is, but you can scan the item and you see what's currently selling for on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But the other way to do it, a lot of people do flipping yard sales on eBay. And, you know, if you put the time in, you can make six figure doing it. But if you're on SSI, I don't know how mobile you are. But you really need to just sit down, Google up everything. Be careful about those work at home
You don't want to get caught in, not to badmouth MLMs, because there are some good ones out there and some people are really, that's really their calling. But if that's not something that you're passionate about, you know, calling up your friends and family and trying to sell to them, then I wouldn't look to that as your answer.
But there you go. I would just sit down and try and figure out what can I do in my situation. You have an income issue and you're worried about your future. Sit down, think it out, Google it up. I really wish the best. I'd love to hear some updates from her.
Yeah.
Investing properly, it is really, really boring. Amanda. It's not really terribly difficult. You're made to believe that you need to go in there, keep fiddling with it. It's kind of like a guy putting steaks on his grill. You know what I mean? Just leave it alone. Or hamburgers. They take the spatula and they keep fiddling with their hamburgers. They squish it down. They keep flipping it back and forth. Leave the burgers alone. Leave it alone. Let it set. It's fine.
That's how the cast iron pans work. I hated cast iron, and it was because I was impatient. If you like try and fry chicken in a cast iron and you try and flip it, it's going to stick. But if you just let it sit, it'll release on its own.
Right.
Cooking tips here as well. Financial tips.
There we are. Cooking tips at Rock on the Money. Everyone's made to believe they got to go in there and keep changing their funds back and forth and all that. I don't do that. I will admit I am seven figures in my money. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. The reason I got to that is through dollar cost averaging. Okay. If you stick with the right funds, whether it goes up or down or whatever, your paycheck comes out sometimes two times a month. Some people out there have once a month. Like we have a lot of airline employees. They get a paycheck on the 20th of the month. They don't get the two paychecks. So you almost wish, this sounds weird, Amanda, I actually have learned to enjoy that the stock market drops. Isn't that completely opposite of what you would think?
No, that's when it's like a sale. I love a bargain.
It literally is. It's like, okay, I get an airline check on the 20th. I literally hope the stock market is down on the 20th when my money for the 401k comes out and I buy. There has not been a time in history that over decades, the market has not gone up over time. Dollar cost averaging is whenever your money comes out of your paycheck, goes in your 401k, that's the point that you are buying shares into whatever mutual fund that you have. Yes, a mutual fund over a year may say it's earned 20%. That may not be what you get. That's the performance of the fund. If you put money in on January 1st, and left it into December 31st and did nothing. You put no more extra money in there. That's how much that fund made in that 1 year.
Yes.
If I buy shares within a mutual fund on low days, high days, whatever, that's going to be a completely different number at the end. That's going to be whatever you did when your money got injected into that mutual fund. We can't track that. Only you can look at your dashboard and see what you're making. That's going to be a completely different animal, okay? So how do I pick my funds? I personally do not diversify in a bunch of mutual funds. I pick 2, 3, at the most 4 funds that I will be in at any given time. One of those funds will always be an S&P 500 index fund. And for most people, Amanda, they could easily put 100% money into an S&P 500 index fund and be completely fine and never, ever touch that again. Always put 15% of it. Make sure you get in your company match. Do nothing else for 40 years and you'll easily be millionaire, multimillionaire.
I agree.
And Warren Buffett, he says the same exact thing. He did pretty well in his life last time I checked.
Mm-hmm.
Most fund managers out there, most financial advisors can't make money on that. Why?
Right.
There are no fees and commissions at all. If anything, it's 0.01%, which is basically free. No one's making money on that except you. That's why they want you to be on these other funds. Then I go find 1, 2, or 3 funds that consistently beat the index. It's a fact that 70% of most mutual funds out there cannot beat a simple S&P 500 index fund. The trick is find the ones that are strong enough. So let's say the airline company I'm with, I have the S&P 500 Vanguard S&P 500 index fund. And then I have a fund called the Harbor Fund, which has consistently been their best fund over time. It's highly rated and it's been beating my index fund consistently. So that's how I'm balanced. I'm only in those two funds. Now, over at my government 457, which I can't put money in there anymore. Remember, that is the one that I said I have almost 50% of my money in stocks. The other money, it's in an index fund, but I'm in this other fund called, it's very popular in many 401ks. It's called the Fidelity Contra Fund. It's a very popular fund in many 401ks out there. Yes, it has a fee of, I think, 0.4, 0.5%. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. It's a very tech-laden fund. It hasn't done as great this year because technology has been kind of, I believe in that fund and I stick with it. It's got Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. It also has Boeing in there, believe it or not. If Boeing ever does come back, my fund will come back up as well.
It's definitely been a rough year for Boeing.
Boeing has been a great stock. It has been. I think MasterCard is in there. In very simple terms, you should always at least have the S&P 500 index fund as part of your portfolio. And then if you want to get a little bit more into trying to get a little bit more kick in your portfolio, discover which funds consistently beat the S&P 500 over time is the key. And then you could put 50%, a third of it into that as well.
Craig, that sounds like a great advice.
We do have a email that came in from Fenny. Actually, it's a Facebook question. Hi, Craig. They didn't say your name because you weren't around at this point. You just came on board. Hey, I
Craig's
saw your
getting all the love.
Yeah. Fenny says, hey, Craig, I saw your comment 5 weeks ago about the max of a 401k is 24,000. I think I misspoke on that one. At an airline, I just maxed my 401k out at 19,000. This paycheck, this was just a couple weeks ago. Congratulations on maxing out your 401k. They called Payroll and Empower and they both said 19,000 is the max. I'm confused.
Yeah, it is 19,000 this year. In 2018, it was 18,500. But, and Craig, this might apply to you if you're over 50.
Are you calling me old? Wow.
If you're over 50.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you have some catch-up contribution limits. So that's probably where that extra.
It's actually 25,000. I was off by 1,000 on that.
Because you get an extra 6,000 if you've got.
Right.
If you hit that age bracket. Good job making the 19,000 cap. Well done.
Also, employers can contribute too. So if you have a company match, okay, there's a $56,000 limit on combined employer and employee contributions. And if you're eligible for the catch up, which is me, Amanda, 50.
I can go up to 50.
Oh, yeah. You can go up to $62,000. That's something a lot of people don't realize. However, not too many people have employers that are doing contributions of that kind of amount. I don't know what company, they would not have this IRS rule unless probably physicians or something like that, or I don't know. Or if you have a company match and you have profit sharing, that could get you up there. You yourself can only do 19,000 if you're under 50, 25,000 if you're over 50. So that's pretty much going to cover most of us in this podcast and listeners. If you are way up there in that amount, you probably don't need to be listening to us.
But please do.
We need the thumbs and the stars or whatever, all these different Apple and Google, all these, wherever your podcast is sold for free.
Yeah, for free.
For free. All right. That's it. That wraps it up for this one, Amanda.
All right.
We really appreciate
it. Until next time, America.
And Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. So long, everybody. America's Heartland USA. All opinions expressed by the host and guest on the website and the show are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of any company or advertiser. You should not treat any opinion expressed by the host or guest as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. Past performance is not indicative of future results. The host or guest of the show guarantees any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed on the website or the show. Investments or strategies mentioned on this website or on the show may not be suitable for you. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies mentioned on the website or the show. Before acting on any information on the website or the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances, and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor. The information provided does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Instead, all information, content, and materials available on the site are for general informational purposes only. family. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. No individual should act or refrain from acting on the basis of information shared here without first seeking legal advice from counsel in relevant jurisdiction. Only your individual attorney can provide assurances that the information presented and your interpretation of it is applicable or appropriate to your particular situation. Use of and access to this website or any links to resources contained within the site do not create an attorney-client relationship between the reader, user, or browser and website authors or contributors and their respective employers. The views expressed at or through this website are those of the individual authors writing in their own individual capacities only. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken on the content of the site are hereby expressly disclaimed. The content on the site provided as is, no representations are made that the content is error-free. Whew! That's it, folks.